following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Welcome to RTW Main Event, which used to be a hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. And now we basically do whatever the hell we want. So without further ado, here's your host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Main Event. This is WrestleMania 37 Night 2 Recap Show. And it's also Day 7 of Radmania 3. 7 days of shows this week, leading up until this weekend's festivities. I'm exhausted, Rob. Welcome to the program. I have three very special guests with me. Well, two. And Jargo. So, let's start off with one half of the two-man power trip empire. You know him very well. He's been on the show many times. Also one of the stars of the hit series Get My Go. It is the one and only perfectly rated.
That's right.
Chadster. What's going on, buddy?
Woo! What's up?
I'm glad you're here, man. We haven't done a show in, you know, like, what, a couple weeks?
I'm glad I'm here, too. I appreciate the invite.
We also have the man that was joining me last night. He is the R to the B to the V, Mr. Rick Vickery. What's going on, Rick? Thanks for joining me for night two of our recap show.
Hey, you know, this is how we do it. We got Radmania 3. We got it going, me and you. We kicked it off on Monday. Because, I mean, you got to pay premium. You got to pay Peacock Premium Plus dollars if you want to get me and this next gentleman on a same show actually talking pro wrestling anymore. I mean, that's a thing of the past. I mean, you talk about nostalgia. You talk about coming back for that WrestleMania payday. Bring the man in, Rob.
He is here. We had to roll out the Brinks truck to get this guy here. He is the token New Japan fan of Hameen Media Group. It is the one and the only Slam Master J, Michael Jargo. What's going on, buddy?
You know, I assume I'm only here because Rick brought up that he was doing your show on the last episode of Hitting the Marks, and then I threw a fit because I hadn't been invited, and then I get an invite just out of the blue. I'm sure that's pure coincidence, isn't it, Rob?
Well, the other three people I had planned canceled, so you were next in line.
Yeah, well, you know what they say. If you've got a podcast, I'll fucking be there.
That's right. You are a podcast whore. Speaking of whores, we kicked off the show with our first match.
The Tammy Lynn Cinch of podcasting, Michael Jargo.
He is.
Look, Mom, I made it!
Our first match of the evening. I didn't want to talk about Hogan and fucking Titus, because that was just the drizzling shits. Dressed up in their fucking Pirates of the Caribbean gear. But our first match of the evening was The Fiend, who went through a little bit of a transformation. And no, I don't mean a sexual or gender change. He went from charcoal fiend to just regular plain old fucking fiend again. And he walked down this little hallway and boom, WrestleMania magic, as my wife said. He's back to being the old fiend. He was taking on his nemesis, the man who set him on fire, Randy Orton. Chad, I'm going to start with you. You have not been watching for quite a while.
No.
I'm not sure if you knew about the whole fiend being set on fire and all that.
You saw that.
18-minute video package, obviously.
I did, yep, the video packages on the pre-show and the same one played before the match, the full thing.
Yeah.
Got caught up, but I had seen that stuff, you know, in clip form. So, I mean, you know, just based on having watched them in the past, I mean, I was excited to see what they would have done. It was just kind of, it was a little weird. I can't say if anybody else could have anticipated whatever the hell that ending was, but you know, it was what it was. I mean, The Fiend is a great character, but the matches, they're never that great. And it just, it's an odd thing. And that hasn't changed in the whole timeline of The Fiend's little existence.
What did you think of the entrance that he had with the big Jack in the Box that he came out of?
Yeah, it was good. You know, it was better than that snake thing or whatever they did a few years ago when he had the Orton match. I mean, it was better than that. I don't know. It's, you know, the element that the production that WWE has is on another platform, another planet. This was no different. That was a great prop. But, you know, I love my favorite thing is to listen to the commentators like crazy and for them to point out what the hell is that thing. Like, they didn't see this giant box sitting there before the camera caught it. So that's the only funny thing. But it was all right. You know, no complaints with the
entrance. Don't tell Tony Khan that WWE has better production than anybody else, because he'll just go on Twitter and say that he invented fucking production.
And that's the thing. I mean, I've been there, so I know what goes into it. I know the effort. The production of the package is off the charts, but, you know, the announcers to say, what the hell is that? It was literally in front of them before the camera panned to it. Yeah. So unless they're just watching the monitors like they are instructed to do, maybe they didn't see those boxes.
I wonder how the crowd felt when they just rolled it out there.
Giant box.
Yeah, like, what the fuck is that?
I think that creates intrigue. And, you know, speak to the commentators. You know, that's 101 when you're commentating. You know, you're calling it as the audience, possibly at home, or just that vision, that spectacle inside that ring. So I would have thought about it. I thought it was a pretty cool, you know, you're immediately intrigued. If you're in that audience, probably thinking like, man, they got something big planned here. Mm-hmm. And it actually seemed like, you know, once they got this thing rolling, there seemed like there was a pop there from that live audience. As Rob, you're talking about, you know, now we've got the transformation, re-transformation here of the Fiend. I kind of like going back to that. Okay. You know, I'm back to where I was. I've survived what you're throwing at me.
Then, I like it, but how do you explain it off, though?
I think, you know, they talked about that a little bit. You know, he got through the burn victim stage. He is back to where he's at, kind of resurrected in that form. Now, the match itself, we could talk about. I mean, that was terrible, like around 8.5, really nothing there. Their thought process here, and I'm one of those individuals of that mindset. I'm more interested and invested in pro wrestling when it's around moments, storylines, and characters. They have those here. Unfortunately, it kind of, you know, kicks my thought process in the nuts, because none of it's intriguing, none of it's working. But any of you gentlemen, after this was over with, when you have Bliss sitting there, whatever the hell's pulsating from her forehead with that tar dripping all over her, were any of you really, oh my God, I can't wait to see what's next here? No. You're like, what the hell did we just watch? What the hell are they doing? Please just kill this thing on the floor.
Jargo, we'll go with you on that one first. What did you think of the match? And most importantly, like RBV said, what did you think of the finish?
Well, I guess a couple of things. Number one, I didn't realize that I was doing this show with Shill Vickery Shill. I thought it was going to be RBV. That's my bad. I should have known better. But I, unlike Rick, have no desire to work for the WWE, so I will tell you just what the drizzling shits this was. Number one, they start with a 12-minute open. That's right. I sat down and clocked it. The open of this thing goes 12 minutes. Oh. Randy Orton finally makes his entrance 15 minutes into the show. It takes him 3 minutes. Then we go to a goddamn video package. Then we go to a video package. The Fiend finally starts his entrance. Oh, nope, that's Alexa Bliss. That's her entrance. Then we get Bray in the box. We're now 20 minutes into the freaking show. 23 minutes when Bray finally jumps off of that stupid box and hits Randy Orton in the mouth. We are 23 minutes into the goddamn show. That's why people popped, because something was finally freaking happening. 5 minutes after that, we get bleeding Alexa Bliss. 1 minute after that, the RKO. And a minute after that, we go back to fucking commercial. Commercial! Because we really needed to go to a commercial this far into the show. I thought this whole thing was just absolutely miserable. As far as the commentators saying, what is that? Little did we know that would be the teaser for the rest of the show tonight. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
That was WrestleMania? Really?
Wow. Yeah. Jargo's coming in hot.
I got to be honest with you. My clock had it at 25 minutes. So, I mean, I don't know if I paused for a half second or buffed.
He's got a Japanese clock, so that's kind of fucked
20,
up.
I mean,
everything's a bit ahead.
That's my biggest complaint, as somebody who's tapped out massively over the last few years, is that even though I do catch up somewhat via the social media channels, to sit through that long of an intro with the voiceover guys fighting with the pirate guy, and then you had Hogan and Titus, and then you... At 23, 25, it was exhaustive until he jumped off the thing. And then, like I said, the character looks great, charcoal or not. I thought the charcoal one looked better, but the character looks great, but the match is not very good. And that's the most important part for a WrestleMania kickoff.
Well, let me ask you two, gentlemen. Now, I completely agree. I mean, I couldn't even, you know, last night when they roll out with almost verbatim that same terrible promo package that they used last year. I mean, beyond awful there. You got the Hogan. I don't even understand why we a point of having hosts at WrestleMania is they add nothing to it. You know, they're just eating up time. But take that away.
Payday.
For you individuals, you know, that don't maybe regularly watch week to week, you know, just kind of picking up, you know, pieces here and there, social media, dirt sheets, whatever. Do the video packages help you, though? I mean, okay, this looks kind of cool. I mean, is there a little intrigue there?
No.
I always looked at those things and thought, you know, if you're just coming into a show, but as you know, Chad, as you were talking about how great the production team is, they are, rightfully so, they seem like they get you more interested. Like, I'll watch those, and then I feel bad, like, man, I just wasted a month of my time watching all the bullshit, and they just gave me the good stuff.
Well, I mean, that's why I watch YouTube, typically.
And I agree with that, Rick. My issue is don't do it between the entrances.
Yeah,
true. You know what I mean? Do it before the first entrance. Okay, get it rolling.
Yeah.
Yep. And because then I'm like, okay, we can get this moving on. Because, like, we're 20-some minutes into the show, but at this point, I'm more invested in my phone than what's going on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, even my wife said it, and she doesn't watch regularly. Why did they put a promo package between the entrances? I mean, even she picked up on it. But I mean,
and then the entire match is 5 minutes long.
Right. Yeah.
We're half hour in, and we've seen 5 minutes of wrestling. It's WrestleMania, not video package mania.
But that's what the pre-show is for. The pre-show is to get you back in the day when you used to have to purchase it for $60. You would watch the pre-show, and you'd sit there and go, Now, based off what they're showing me, am I going to order this thing? Because that's where you get the video packages. The only things that should have video packages are the main events or world title matches. I didn't need to see the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens video package in full on the pre-show and on WrestleMania. It just or portion of it. It's just they kill you with all these packages and entrances.
I just think that they realize, I mean, they're looking at their watchable hours. People are not infested. They're not watching these pre-shows. Jargo and I talk about it for years now. They don't do any business on the pre-show. Right. They would get you hooked with something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chad, as you're talking about, you couldn't wait to go watch, you know, Stevie Knight Heat to see, because there was something cool going on that pre-show before you were leading into the thing. Now it is, you know, it's just bickering with the panel and in the same repetition of the video packages.
For me, I mean, I agree with the timing of it, Jargo, but I mean, coming in cold, I do like to get caught up on what's going on because I haven't been watching week to week.
The problem was this was the last thing they teased on the pre-show, they open with it, so you literally see the video package back to back, and it was just entirely too much.
Agreed.
Rick, The Fiend has been around for about 2 years now. We were doing the Monday Locker Room when The Fiend debuted. We were doing the Hitting the Marks Pro Wrestling Podcast. And I said, when The Fiend debuted, this character is really cool. It does not work inside of a pro wrestling context.
Right.
Here we are 2 years later. Can I get a Jargo? You was right.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you 100% on this thing. It's time to kill this thing on the floor. I just think with the storytelling here, they're not creative enough. They don't have enough vision and direction to do anything with this. I really think it probably peaked last year when it left people a little confused but wanting more at WrestleMania with the Cena stuff. Because even the follow-up with the Strowman in the Swamp, I mean, that just fell so short. I mean, and that's the other thing, you know, where people were clamoring for, we got this direction of cinematic wrestling. Even from the get-go, the shelf life just didn't seem like it was there for me.
I mean, when he lost to Goldberg, that was really the nail in the coffin, as far as I'm concerned. Having 3 hours to think about it, I was initially pissed off. I texted Rick right away, and I'm like, what in the actual fuck? having 3 hours to think about it, I get the storytelling. Alexa is something that the Fiend created that he can't even control, and that's where they're going with it. The fact that he got burnt, took a few months off, came back all fucked up, which is a badass makeup job by the whole whatever team put that together. Now he transforms back into, you know, the regular Fiend, and he's good to go. Eats one RKO and it's it.
That's all she wrote.
I guess Alexa caused that. Maybe she took some power away, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how they explain this away, because they really have to do a good job.
But it's a pro wrestling show. Like, what do you do? Unless you're going to do Bray Wyatt versus Alexa Bliss, where in the hell does this go?
No, I mean, that could happen. You never know. I don't know. There's a little bit left on the bone where I actually want to see how this pays off on Raw in the next month or so. They're going to have WrestleMania Payback or WrestleMania Backlash, whatever the hell it's called, next month, which I guess will be a continuation of whatever we saw this weekend. So is Randy Orton off the hook? Maybe. I mean, I don't think Randy needs to be involved in this anymore, to be quite honest.
He was the smart one. He got the hell out of there as fast as he possibly could.
Yeah, he had to get back there and get on his phone to tell Soldier Boy, look at that. Look what I just did.
I just performed in front of fucking 25,000 people, asshole.
But the show absolutely picks up from here, right, Rob? It does. I mean, like, we're really going to jump into WrestleMania mode now.
That's a great segue to our second match, which is for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. The reigning champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, defending against Natty and Tamina, who won a gauntlet match to earn this right in night one of WrestleMania. I'll start with you on this one, Rick. On a scale of one to drizzling shits, what do you give this match?
I'm going to give it a 5.55 gimmicks galore rating. Did Natalya get another boost there?
She may have.
Jeez.
She may
have. Was that Natalya or Dolly Parton? Because at a certain point, I was pretty sure it was Dolly Parton.
Now, you know, there's not really much to defend here. they had bad timing, bad pacing. But you know what? I will put over there. For some reason, I have a soft spot in my heart. I like that they did kind of let Tamina shine there. Mm-hmm. So at least she had that.
No, I agree, and she looked gassed out. Even Natty looked gassed out, and I don't know if she was just overselling, but she looked a little bit bigger than I don't know, even yesterday. I thought yesterday Natty looked a lot better. Tonight, I don't know if she got hit in the head or what, but she really looked off near the end of that match. I don't know if she got concussed possibly or got blown up. I don't know, but she didn't look good to me. I don't want to speculate as to what she was doing before the match, but this didn't do it for me. Nia looked angry from the start. I mentioned on Twitter that she looked really angry, like maybe she was hungry, you know, or hangry. I thought maybe she would just eat everybody in the match. I don't know why they kept the belts on Baszler and Snacks, because I think they're run, and obviously Natty and Tamina aren't the ones to put it on. I don't know who would be, because that women's tag team division is the shits right now. I'll pose this question to you, Jargo. Did they make the right call keeping the belts on the champs, is that a failed experiment? Actually, a better question, is that a failed experiment? Because I've not been impressed by the women's tag team champions since they first came out with Sasha and Bayley.
Well, the entire women's tag team division was a great idea when you were using the NXT roster, the Raw roster, and the SmackDown roster. But now that we have eliminated the NXT roster from the equation, it's a terrible idea. It's an awful failed experiment. As far as making the right decision to keep it on the champs, I will say yes, only because I at least can approve of Shayna Baszler walking around with the title. The other three, I just don't care about at all at this point. Although Shayna Baszler looked awful in this match. I mean, that was my biggest issue with it. She's the most legit person out there.
Yeah.
And they have her doing all the selling, which was just bizarre to me. My favorite spot of this match was when Natalya inexplicably jumps in the ring for no apparent reason and then just stands there.
Yeah.
And waits for Shayna Baszler to punch her in the face. That was my favorite spot during the entire match. It was just, I messaged Rick during this and I said, is this the worst WrestleMania match in history? And I think it's gonna be up there in like that top five. But on a positive note, our friend RD Reynolds has a new nominee for his Wrestle Crap Hall of Fame, and that would be the Women's Tag Team Championship from WrestleMania 37.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Husey and I just did a show on the worst match of all time, and that was Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler from WrestleMania 27, which unfortunately I was in attendance for.
But that was intended to be god-awful, right? Like, this was supposed to be good.
Yeah, no, well, except for Lawler selling Michael Cole's stuff, like, like Michael Cole's fucking yeah. Steve Austin. Chad, I'm going to pose this to you because you are the master raider here. is there anybody more overrated in the history of professional wrestling than Natty Neidhart?
Good soldier. That's what you got to say. I mean, you know, that I really can't say if she's on any scale. She's just a good soldier. This was a reward for two female superstars that have been on the roster for 10 years plus.
Right.
So that's what it was. Like, there was no way in hell they were going over. I mean, it just, there's no way, but it was just a reward. So is she not, I mean, she's, I think she's right where she needs to be. You know, it's, she's a heart. That's basically it. It kind of stops.
I mean, the bloodline's there, but the talent isn't, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it doesn't always translate, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Myself and Ben Hameen had this conversation just recently. And
I'm looking at a name drop here. Way to go. Thanks.
Right? Consider number one, how long Natalia has been in the company. But number two, she has literally been in this business her entire life. She knows absolutely nothing other than professional wrestling.
Yeah.
True. No, that's a good point.
She's made it work.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know where they go from here, honestly.
Bella Twins!
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, you bring up the Bellas. Rob, I'm very angry that we didn't talk about the highlight of the night, which was Bayley, Hulk Hogan, Titus O'Neil, and Eric Bischoff backstage. Bayley was the highlight of WrestleMania!
She was. She was. Both nights, actually. I'm a big Bayley fan.
It's a very low bar, but
it is very
true
low bar.
Nonetheless.
Our third match of the evening was, God, where the fuck am I? Was it the drum match?
No, it was Sammy and Owens.
Okay, I love the buildup to this match. We talked about it a little bit last night. Sammy and Kevin have been together a long time. They did a great job telling that story. Granted, they already told that story, what, a year or two ago when they were feuding previously? So we kind of knew it. But I like the added thing of Sammy just kind of being off the rails completely.
Yeah.
I love his promos. I think he's a hell of a character. I even like the fucking Castro, you know, get up that he's been wearing for a while. The documentary thing was pretty funny. Logan Paul, I'm not a big fan of him. I don't know why. I don't even think is he really a big enough name? Maybe with the millennials, he's a big enough name.
Yeah, he's a big name.
Maybe I'm just too old and don't give a fuck. But yeah, no, I mean, I guess I do understand why he was there. I thought the payoff at the end was pretty good with him kind of turning on Sammy, as we expected to happen. And then eats a stunner, a la Stone Cold would do the same thing. And you could see the mannerisms from KO at the end. You knew it was going to happen. It was telegraphed a mile away, as Gorilla Monsoon would say. Chad, I'll start with you. Were you a fan of this match? Were you tired of seeing these two together? What did this match do for you?
I mean, it's just a good pairing, so you know it's going to be a good match. I mean, they've worked together a million times. They could probably work with their eyes closed and have a good match. I mean, it's just one of those things. If you've seen one, you kind of seen them all, because they do pull out a lot of the same spots. But there were points that I think I liked more than others. Probably, I'd say out of all the matches on the card, this is probably the one I liked maybe the most, maybe second most. But that was well done. The Logan Paul thing, I mean, you know, he's good for a couple, you know, eyeballs. But what does he really provide? He didn't talk. He didn't say anything. They just had him kind of sitting there like a dummy, just kind of off to the side. And a great camera move, you know, which is they're very known for, a quick camera move to watch however he landed on that stunner. I mean, that was like he dropped out or he did like a front flat. I don't know what the hell that was. But, you know, it was okay. I didn't mind it. I liked the aggressiveness of Sammy at one point. I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, besides that, I think that those two could really have a match anywhere, anytime, and it'd be pretty good.
I thought it was solid, Rick. Obviously, these two have a long storied history together. They know they're best friends. They know each other like the back of their hand. They've probably wrestled, you know, a thousand times in their career. Sammy does a great job of selling. I'm still a little bit over babyface Kevin Owens. I think he's better off as a heel. I think we could pretty much all agree on that. I think the luster is gone, you know, with the buildup from last year. I think COVID obviously took a big hit because he wasn't there a lot. And I think he lost a lot of steam. But this was a good, you know, as Chad said, you know, it's going to be a great match because these guys work so well together. What did you think overall? Were you happy with this match?
I enjoyed what they brought to the table here. He said, you know, we got these guys going back, you know, when they broke in together and all the great moments that we can, you know, we're on that bigger stage at Ring of Honor through NXT to what everything they've done in WWE. I think the thing with Kevin Owens that makes it a little bit more difficult to get really invested or excited about what he's got going on is because it continually happens with him. He's in a high profile spot at the end of the year, and then you go into WrestleMania season and he gets downgraded, and it regularly happens. And we just seen it where he was in that couple months program with Roman Reigns, and then boom, we got to go into WrestleMania season. You're going to the mid card. We've seen it when they had to pivot to Goldberg, when people were really high on maybe him and Jericho going and being that marquee match. I think that really hurts him. For Sammy, man, major props to Sammy in 2021, where, you know, the talents get so much flack because they don't know how to properly utilize social media. Sammy's tremendous with it. Yep. I mean, what he is doing on his social media completely blows away anything that they're sampling from that and translating in this already great character onto the television. Now, with these two going out there, was this their best dance together? No, but you know, like what Chad said there, these guys can go out there and do it with their eyes closed any day of the week. But I think we know really what to take home from this. Old man Rob over there with your finger on the button is you get the involvement here of Logan Paul. And we're talking about his 22.9 just YouTube followers. So going out there, working this match here, this might be an opportunity where these two talents, KO and Sammy, are going to have the most eyes and most attention on them as a follow-up to this match.
No, that's true. I mean, and he's got about 22 million more followers than I have. I mean, it's close. I haven't done the math, but I get it. I understand that point. Even with Bad Bunny, I didn't mention it last night, but my 13-year-old niece was here watching, and she has no clue what's going on in wrestling. But she sees Bad Bunny, and she's like, "Oh, I love his songs!" And boom, instant notoriety. She knows exactly who he is. Doesn't know one fuck about wrestling. Probably never even watched in her life. But sees him, she's like, "Oh, cool!" And she watched the match and she enjoyed it. So that they did their job when it comes to that. Jargo, did the right man win?
Yeah, I think so, because that was the only way that you get the Logan Paul moment, right? I mean, that's really what this was all about. And to speak to Logan Paul, my 17-year-old daughter, who is currently at her mother's house, tuned into WrestleMania strictly to see Logan Paul get punched in the face.
There you go.
Logan Paul is a dick. Like, nobody likes Logan Paul. He's kind of got the Floyd Mayweather thing going on where you want to see him get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
So, like, this might actually be a great thing for Kevin Owens coming out of WrestleMania as opposed to last year where he jumped off the sign, had, like, the WrestleMania moment of all moments, and then they did absolutely nothing with him for about 2 months, and he went back into obscurity. My favorite spot in this match was when Kevin Owens teases the package pile driver and nobody popped because he's never done the package pile driver in the WWE. Yeah. If you really want to see these guys go at it, go back to Ring of Honor Final Battle 2012, the ladder war, that happened between Kevin Steen and El Generico. That is a main event match between these two guys. I thought they went out there. They knew their place on the card in the middle of the show. They didn't want to do too much. They wanted to put on a good show. And I felt like everybody got over in the match. So it might've been the best match on the show.
That's I can't argue with that at all. I hope they do something with Kevin Owens after this. I hope he does get some kind of a run or have him turn and join Sammy, you know, and have them run roughshod again. I mean, you got to do something with the two.
I feel like the problem with Kevin Owens, especially going into WrestleMania season, like Rick was saying, he gets pushed into the mid card. It's the poster thing, right?
Yeah.
You don't want Kevin Owens front and center on the poster and everybody's like, "Look at that fat piece of shit. Like, why am I going to tune in to watch that?" Because they don't know who Kevin Owens is.
Kevin,
you want
James
somebody like Roman Reigns on the freaking poster and people are like, "Oh my God, he looks like a Roman God. Yeah, I have to watch this."
That's the interesting part about Kevin Owens. I mean, I've never been a big fan of him, even back to the Kevin Steen days. He's just never a guy I got into. But you see how, like you mentioned, Sammy and the getup that he's got. It's cool. It's different. And Kevin Owens, I mean, he doesn't change that look at all.
Right.
The big either go with the beard or go with the shorts and the cutoff shirt. Like maybe trim the beard. Maybe make it look different. He just looks unkept. He just doesn't look like a superstar, and that's probably why they start and stop. They probably go, ah, he's got good matches, but on the other hand, maybe he's not very marketable, so let's just kind of keep him where he is, and we'll just have him win every so often, and we'll just
SummerSlam through Survivor Series. Yeah. You know, we don't need to put it on a big poster.
No, that's right. He's a fantastic worker. He's a great promo, considering English isn't even his first language. He literally learned English from watching Friends, for fuck's sake.
And that's actually hold that against him.
Like, yeah, that's true. He's actually the second Canadian I know that learned English from Friends. So
we won't hold that against the other one either.
Right. You know, great promo guy, great worker, great character guy. Very intense when he needs to be. Sans, you know, getting stuck in a porta potty by fucking Braun Strowman, or, you know, a couple years ago. But other than that, you're right. He's out of shape. He's not a superstar.
But he's not. That's the thing. If he was out of shape, he wouldn't be able to do what he does.
Well, that's why I told Brad Shepherd, because Brad Shepherd tweeted out that he was a fat piece of shit and doesn't look like a star. And I said, yeah, but he can go.
Well, he's not Adam Cole.
Right, but he can go, though. And he's
Adam Cole's a fat piece of shit.
It's just not flattering attire anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it doesn't, like I said, he's got the big fluffy beard. Either trim the beard, keep the basketball attire, or change the basketball attire and have the big beard. You can't have both unique things. You got to switch it up a little bit. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
But you can do the whole, you know, Shorty G thing. Just call him Fatty K. I mean, that might work.
Yeah, I mean, he's not fat. He's got his own, he's got a different physique than everybody else. He's got a look to him that you could do something with, but you can't see what that look is when he's wearing baggy ass shorts that you buy at Walmart, literally, right. And just a fancy shirt. Like, okay, we get it. KO5. Yeah, let's take the logo from the fifth WrestleMania. We'll see that next.
The shirt was cool.
We get it.
I would love that. I want to see that now. I want to see, because remember a couple years ago when they were going to make him, seemingly it was like the Everyman where he was like in the bowling alley.
That's what I was saying. Like, he is the Steve Austin.
Now I want to see him go to like Walmart and look for the discount rack for his ring gear. I want to see those vignettes.
But it's the KO5, like, to take a iconic thing like the Mega Powers Explode, right? And you're putting it on a Mid Carter's t-shirt, essentially. So every year, the KO Mania thing, it's like he's dropped every year that they've done that. And they give this guy these iconic logos to have as his t-shirts, but they're for like a Mid Card guy. So are they selling any? What's the point of making them?
Speaking of
I'm just imagining him as the Ultimate Warrior next year in the pose for the WrestleMania 6 poster.
He might, actually.
And it'll be on the pre-show.
Yeah. Speaking of the Mega Powers, Ben Hameen and I broke down the feud between Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan from 1988 and 1989. It's on hackerhameen.podbean.com, although you can't listen to it right now because, you know, we're being taken down.
I won't hold it against you that you didn't call me for that one. You called me for this one, but not for that one. That's
well, you blew me off on the Get My Go show. So,
well, that was different. That was a bad week. I was on vacation.
right. Yeah, a lot of people called me and told me they were pissed off that they weren't invited to that show. But I wanted to break it down with a worker. And as far as I know, you guys haven't taken any bumps legally in the ring.
As far as you know.
Chad, hold on. Do I not know something about you? Were you a worker?
Move on to the next.
I'm interested to find that out. We'll cover that for a different show. Our next match was for the Intercontinental Championship. The United States Championship. Matt Riddle defending his U.S. title against Sheamus. Before the match started, we got an appearance from the 2021 Hall of Famers, the Great Khali and RVD. My wife saw Rob Van Dam. She goes, "Holy shit, he looks old." I said, "Yeah, he kind of is, but Great Khali looked like he can get back in the ring. He literally looks like he did, you know, 10, 12 years ago when he was SmackDown champion. He looks fantastic. Still can't speak a word of English, but, you know, we won't hold that against him." The match itself was kind of what I expected. I expected it to be a really hard hitting match between two guys that work pretty snug. And you know, there might have been a few potatoes here and there. I thought they worked really well together. I'm actually interested to see if I'm assuming they're going to have a follow up match at WrestleMania Backlash. So I would like to see these two again. And I think it's good for Sheamus to get a win because really, since he came back, they haven't done that much with him. He had a high profile feud with Jeff Hardy and the whole alcoholism and all that, which I kind of dug. I mean, he fought Shorty G when he first came back. That was what it was. But finally, you know, Sheamus gets a big win at WrestleMania. Because it's been quite a long time, and he's worked his ass off to get back to the ring. So I'm happy for Sheamus. I think he was the right guy to win this match. I'll start with you, Rick. What did you think of this match, and are you happy that they put the U.S. title on Sheamus?
I'll tell you what, the match inside of itself, this is where I look at this thing, and I'm really hoping that WrestleMania really night two turns around, starts to pick up, and it didn't here for me momentarily. I was looking forward to, I want to see some stiff shots here. I want this thing, and it did look a little messy at times, and I like that. I like that raw, that real fight feel to it.
Yeah.
That's what you got here. You tell these two heavy hitters, they're going at it, and I think really it's going to stand out here, you look for those moments. A hell of a finish there, and that visual with Riddle just busted. Taking that modified, that very unique brogue kick there, and it surprised me that they actually made the adjustment here and went with Sheamus. I'm intrigued. I want to see where this thing goes forward.
I absolutely agree with that, Jargo. What did you think of this match?
I think I've always been higher on Sheamus than a lot of people have been. I liked half of this match. I liked the physicality of this match when things started to break down. I hated the beginning of this match because the beginning of this match was Sheamus out-wrestling Matt Riddle on the ground. And that just makes absolutely no kind of logical sense to me whatsoever. I would like to see these two guys in like a blood sport kind of setting. You know what I mean? Where they could go in there and actually like blend those MMA and pro wrestling styles together. I hope that that's kind of the direction for both of these guys going forward. But it was fine. I mean, it was fine. I like Sheamus a lot more than I think most people seem to for one reason or another.
I mean, you're both pale as fuck, so I get it. I mean, I totally understand. I could see, I mean, you look alike, so there's that.
Well, I'm a vampire and he's Irish, so you know it works.
There you go. There's the correlation. Chad Sheamus, U.S. champion, right move on?
Yeah, I agree with Jargo 100%. He's a guy that doesn't get his due, I think, and it's another guy, been around for a long time. You got to think he's going over in a match like this. You know, not having seen a lot of Riddle as of late, I was really surprised to see how they just de-evolutionized him. I don't know how else to say it. He's just like, it is like this cartoony, you know, take on a guy who could literally like probably really hurt a lot of people. And it was kind of a shame to see that segment at the beginning because it just made him look like such a goof. And now we're going to have to see him go fight this physical contest. I mean, mentally, it takes a fan out of it. But I thought it was hard hitting. The one botch that Sheamus had, I mean, that was an impossible feat that he was trying to hit. And, you know, they recovered pretty good out of it. But no, that was a good visual for the bro kick there at the end that either caught him. It looked like I thought it caught him in the chest, but if it busted his lip, I mean, it was.
I think the tip of his foot, his toes hit him in the head.
Yeah,
the
it was. That was a good visual. So, again, you know, hard hitting contest. And, you know, I think the right guy went over.
I'm glad you brought up the fact that Riddle looks like a cartoon character, especially if you haven't been watching in a while and you remember him from NXT.
Yeah, I remember everything about him and how highly touted he was and the signing and how serious they had taken him. And, you know, and I had heard that they kind of made him in that same vein of the RVD, you know, and I was I guess that was the little play on the two of them passing in the back. But yeah, just so dumb, the scooter and all that just made this guy who's legit like a killer, like, you could neutralize him very easily by making him a goof, and they did. But I like the Sheamus pick as the U.S. champ.
They did an NXT with him and Pete Dunne, you know, turning him into like the bruiserweights or whatever the fuck they call them.
Bruiserweights, man.
Yeah, the bruiserweights. So, I mean, the foreshadowing was there before he came up.
I feel like the problem is that's really Matt Riddle. Like, he is a weird, freaking quirky dude with a very stoner SoCal, what's up, bro, kind of personality. And the thing is, they tell that part of the story great. What they don't tell is when the bell rings and the fight is on, Matt Riddle is a professional fighter who's an absolute freaking badass. Like, at this point, we should be building, like, WrestleMania is over today. If I'm looking at early nominees for a main event for WrestleMania next year, give me Matt Riddle versus Bobby Lashley. Like, those are two legit, tough, badass professional fighters who could be going in there and fighting over the WWE Championship, but they're nowhere freaking close to that with Riddle right now.
I'll throw you one more. I'll throw Brock Lesnar in Riddle.
Absolutely.
That's what we've been waiting to see for a couple of years now.
Yeah, but that's going to be like the Ambrose match because Brock isn't going to give Riddle anything.
Brock's going to ask for about 3 to 4 more zeros on that paycheck, and he's not going to want to do shit.
He is going to slaughter that dude.
Yeah, for sure. Darkside Caster said the CGI birds were pretty lame. That's the first thing he noticed. What the fuck was up with? I don't even understand that. Like, is that a thing they've been doing? Or I don't even know what that was, Rick.
I don't, they randomly got him in here, especially with this one. All the CGI stuff they do on these intros annoy me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the I can see you're trying to add something a little different, the different effects inside the Thunderdome. When you got your live audience, just check that shit at the door.
Yeah, it was one thing to show like the Cricket Wireless logo in the pre-show and be like, oh, okay, yeah, Cricket Wireless, they're the sponsors. But then like they go to the first visual is the CGI pirate skull, right? But then the next shot is the same shot without the pirate skull. And you're like, well, where the hell did the pirates go? You weren't paying attention. They did. I mean, again, they're top notch as it comes to production, but sometimes they go a little overboard. I don't think all the undercard guys need those.
Dunn and his crew get a new toy, and they just fucking use it to death. I mean, that's just kind of their MO, right?
I always argue that the Full Sail interns are running the show sometimes.
I did like it for Roman. Like, I thought statue of Roman looked badass, but then just save it for Roman. Don't do all this other cartoony shit that you can't really pull off.
Yeah, absolutely. Our next match was for the Intercontinental Championship, the reigning champion, Big E, taking on Apollo Crews, the newly minted Nigerian. Apollo Crews, going back to his roots, even changing his accent, the way he speaks. I said last night he's the reverse Kofi. Kofi started out as a Jamaican, then went to African, and he's from fucking Boston. So we have the reverse Kofi with Apollo Crews, wherever he was from, Alabama. Or, yeah,
I think he's from Georgia.
Georgia, close enough.
Thanks.
They're all the same. States. Don't read into that. Don't read into that. Southern states, more specifically. Anyway, I don't even know where to go out of that. This was a Nigerian drum match.
Canceled now.
I'm canceled. Yeah. Well, I mean, nobody fucking listens anyway. So, this was a Nigerian drum match. Chad, I know you are a wrestling historian. How many Nigerian drum matches have we had in the history of professional wrestling?
Well, you know, I'm sure they might have had a couple of them untelevised at some point. Maybe in Rio de Janeiro, they had a Nigerian drum match or two. I kind of tapped out on this one. Not really interested in either guy. And to the fact that it's an Intercontinental Championship match was blowing my mind away that it was this. From what I gathered, nobody knew what the stipulation meant. And it basically just looked like a TLC match from the crux of it. But
pretty much,
you know, I don't know. I mean, the guys put in some hard work, but it just, I don't know, it didn't grab me. And then the thing at the end with the guy that's already been on TV, you know, like I didn't get where he's coming from all of a sudden in his, general garb that I guess he's going to be labeled as now.
Yeah, Dabba Kato showed up. I was wondering what they were going to do with him because he's a big dude.
He's a big dude. He's very impressive, but you know, from what I gather, he's already been on TV.
He was on Raw Underground. He was Shane McMahon's pet project there on the Raw Fight Club. First rule of Raw Fight Club is we don't talk about Raw. Nobody wants to talk about Raw Fight Club.
But as an Intercontinental title match, it didn't pop off the page to me as a WrestleMania IC title match. You know, and I'm not thinking it's going to be Steamboat Savage. It's not going to be any kind of classic. It just is an IC title match where it was placed on the card. Like, I would have had that in the opening spot.
Agreed.
Than,
it was pretty high on the card.
It didn't need to be where it was.
No, I will agree with that. Jargo, what did this clock in at? 6 minutes, 7 minutes, somewhere around there?
Almost 7 minutes, 6 minutes and 50 seconds. I'm kind of with Chad. I was pretty checked out on this one. And then the finish with bringing in Babatunde, Dabba Kato, whatever the hell you want to call him, right?
Yeah.
Like, I guess my issue there is, wouldn't it have made a lot more sense to bring him in last night with the Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon, like, cage thing? And like you could pair him off against Braun Strowman, and you would have these two giant men going at it. It would be Huckleberry's wet dream. It'd be a battle of the Titans and all this other bullshit. Like, I the whole pairing with Apollo Crews. I'm so over interference finishes that change championships inside of a WWE context. And they did it twice within like 3 matches.
I mean, we all understand why. I mean, traditionally to keep Big E strong. Obviously, he lost by interference. Apollo, the shit heel, you know, gets the tainted win. So I get it. I mean, but yeah, you're right. It's been overdone. It's been overdone for sure.
Big E at this point is just such a fuckwit that I just want him to get punched in the face. Like, can we like serious up Big E? Can we make him like a legit character, not this crazy goofball clown at this point? Like, I thought getting him away from New Day would get rid of all that bullshit, yeah. But
what here you think we of Wale? Are.
Yep.
What'd you think of Wale playing to the ring?
I thought shopping for bidets on Amazon was far more entertaining.
Wow. Rick, your thoughts on this match? Obviously, it was a short match, pretty hard hitting. A lot of, you know, they got all their shit in. Do you like the finish? Where do you think they go from here? Because I liked last month's match better, obviously. I thought they had, you know, pretty good chemistry together, and I expected a lot out of this match. Just didn't pay off for me.
Man, I, you know, announced going into this thing that you had Wally going to, you know, lead Big E to the ring. I thought this was going to be one of those big production moments that you remember. You got, you know, these two tremendous looking superstars make a moment for him here. I immediately was really disappointed. I thought we were going to get like this huge tribute to the, you know, the Nigerian, the warrior spirit.
Yeah,
massive drum line. I mean, with this drum, you know, the drum fight, the warrior drum fight. What do they only have? Like a couple bongos set up there at the ringside? I mean, that was really all. We had a gong and a couple bongos. That was it.
Yeah.
Really, what you got to chalk this up to is Vince, Brucey, Bucky, whoever they might have been. They just watched Black Panther a month ago, and they saw that scene in there. And, oh, goddamn, pal, I got to have my fierce black warriors out there doing this. Damn, pal.
And they needed a gimmick match for WrestleMania. There's no other gimmick matches on the card tonight, so we had to throw that in there.
You have now the protection going forward here for Apollo and Dabo. And Jargo, to answer your question, why didn't they keep him on, you know, maybe move him to, you know, night one, get him involved in something with the Red Brand? That's because Fox has probably been bitching that they have got Almost, they've got Braun. Fox is probably like, where's our big guys?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's our monster? So they said, okay,
I'm happy you bring up the whole AJ and Almas thing, because that's part of the reason this doesn't work for me, because it's literally the same thing.
Same thing.
That's immediately what I thought was, okay, yep. Fox was asking, where's our guys like that?
Yeah.
So let's mirror that thing. We'll be running, you know, just against each other here.
Elizabeth says, I think the thing Dabakato is, he's actually part Nigerian, so maybe it's supposed to make some kind of sense. I mean, that's how you can play it off in a story. Even if it's not true, you can still write that in and say, you know, I'm supporting my Nigerian brother, and, you know, we're going to defend our ancestors and all that. So, I mean, but you're right. It is the very same thing that Omos and AJ are doing.
They gave up on the India market, and now they're going after Africa instead. That seems like a great idea.
Well, they missed a great chance at the great power Udi playing his saxophone and Apollo to the ring. I mean, I don't know why they couldn't have pulled that one out for WrestleMania. But I'll tell you what I kind of see telegraphing is that they don't have a name for him yet. They're going to change his name now again.
They won't
label it. We've seen him before, obviously, on TV, but they're going to give him a new name, and it's going to be very Nigerian-esque. And if what Lisbeth said was correct, oh, they're going to go all out. They're going to dig out the most Nigerian-sounding name that you could possibly find for this guy.
I mean, they did it with General Adnan and Colonel Mustafa, right? I mean, they changed Iron Sheik's name, for fuck's sake. Everybody knew who the fuck he was. But, I mean, you know, it is what they do traditionally. So, yeah, that's a good pickup. I can see that happening. Moving on to our semi-main. Was for the Raw Women's Championship. It was Asuka defending her championship against the challenger Rhea Ripley. I was looking forward to this match. I love Rhea Ripley. Unfortunately, COVID kind of stalled her as well. I think she should have beat Charlotte last year, to be quite honest. I just wanted Rick's response on that. I knew Rick wouldn't appreciate his Char-Char comment there. But no, Rhea is fantastic. She's a big woman. I mean, she's tall. She's built. She's got a great rack. I'm just gonna, you know, pull rack. She's a nine ball champion.
You're just trying to offend everybody today, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm an equal opportunity offender. And Asuka, we know, is she's a legitimate badass. Finally gave her the push with the title, and I think what they say, 200 and something days that she had the title for, 260 something, which is good because obviously she wallowed in obscurity for about a year and a half when she got called up to the main roster. I thought she represented that title well. And I think Rhea is, we all knew that it was coming eventually. We all knew that she was going to be the heir apparent to kind of carry that women's division because it sorely needs somebody new, some new blood to carry it on. Because even NXT, what used to be touted as the best women's division in all of wrestling has been pretty fucking lame, in my opinion. I think the women's division on all the brands for WWE has really been lackluster for the last year. So I like the fact that they called her up and she's going to get a shot. I hope Io Shirai is the next one to get up here and hopefully they do something with her. But Chad, I'll go to you first on this one. We knew this was going to be a hard-hitting match. Give me your thoughts on this match. Were you entertained by it? And what do you think of Rhea Ripley as the new women's champion on Raw?
It definitely, out of the women's matches I've seen over the WrestleMania span, it was good. I liked it a lot. It was very hard-hitting. Rhea's good. I mean, it's still kind of new. I didn't really catch up on all these folks coming up through NXT at the time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I tapped out. But I was entertained by it. I thought, if anything, this was probably my favorite of the women's contest. But not good stuff. I'm curious to see what happens next. I wish I had more for you on it. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair. Rick, I know you're a big Asuka fan. did you think she represented the Raw brand well as the women's champion? And you think it was the right call to put the belt on Rhea Ripley?
Well, you know, before we kick it over here to Senior Stardom, that can tell us all about the women from Japan and that, you know, what I get to see from, you know, the influx from what we're seeing in AEW, those in NXT. My thoughts watching Asuka here was she really is the cream of the crop when it comes to those that have crossed over to Western wrestling. She's just in her own league.
Yeah.
And that's complete compliment. I mean, she's just amazing. Not because everyone, I don't think highly of everyone else, but she is great. I like this match inside itself. I thought I'd be a little more excited for it. But yeah, I liked it. And I'm a huge fan of Ripley. It's my kind of woman there. I like a woman that could not just potentially, but in actuality, kick my ass. that is my huge turn on. So I think, you know, she's $1 million. They can print their own money with her on it. I hope going forward that they don't drop the bonus. I really like, because, you know, last night, you know, Ben really points out, and we talked about it, she was very emotional on that opening stage, and it really took away from it, and she held that back here tonight. She looked like a fighting warrior champion, you know, as opposed to all, you know, that super over-the-top emotion that we got from Belair last night.
And she looked surprised when she won, but it didn't last long, and I'm glad that she just kind of snapped back into, I'm the fucking baddest bitch here.
Yeah.
I just beat one of the other baddest bitches here. I'm the fucking champ, and now you all have to deal with me.
Yeah.
Jargo, what'd you think of the match?
I thought this was the best match of the night. I enjoyed this quite a bit. Asuka is incredible, but it was absolutely time for a change. And you know, in Vince McMahon's mind, Asuka has been one of the stars of the pandemic era because we could do all this weird kind of crazy stuff with Asuka, and there were no fans there to react to it, right? And so we could caption things and whatnot. Now that we're getting fans back in attendance, we need somebody who can go out there with a microphone and carry a promo for 15 minutes. That's what Vince is looking at. So in that respect, I think Rhea Ripley is absolutely the person to do it. You establish Ripley as a complete badass right out of the gate. And the way I feel about Rhea Ripley is very much the same way I felt about Bayley when she got called up, quote unquote, from NXT. You can print money with this woman. Do not fuck it up.
Yeah.
And they fucked it up with Bayley. I really hope they don't with Rhea Ripley.
I agree with that. Bayley had the chance to be the female John Cena. I mean, she was over with the kids, over with all her merchandise sold like crazy. She's you know, PG era friendly, obviously. But Rhea has that edge. Rhea has gotten consistently darker over the last few months, and she is, you're right, a legitimate badass. And who better to pass the torch to than through Asuka, who we know is a legitimate badass. And I think, like I said, they did a great job redeeming Asuka, you know, over the last, you know, 6-7 months.
That being said,
yeah,
you brought up Io. I am terrified of what they do with Io Shirai on the main roster.
Because she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great, but Vince is not going to get it. And she cannot cut a promo to save her goddamn life.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, and I am worried about that, too. Maybe they should keep her down. Because really, I mean, who do you have left in NXT? I mean, you got
fucking Candice LeRae. I'm afraid what's going to happen.
Raquel Gonzalez isn't bad. I mean, I'm intrigued to see where she's going to go.
I'm afraid that Vince McMahon is going to see Io Shirai walking backstage and be like, Kairi, when did you get back? Put the Kabuki Warriors back together. Yeah. And that's going to be Io Shirai's main roster run.
That's a fair point. Moving on to our main event of WrestleMania Sunday. It's for the Universal Championship, the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, taking on Edge and Daniel Bryan as a last-minute addition here in the last couple of weeks. We talked about this last night, Rick. I know we weren't really a fan of making this a triple threat, but that being said, it is Daniel Bryan, and I think all three of them told a hell of a story in this main event.
You know, this thing, you know, from the introductions, the production, the presentation from the performers, the talents, the superstars themselves here, this was intense. This had a big fight feel. This felt like a main event. So real quick, I actually want to ask Chad, you know, our historian here, could they potentially, as we had kind of a slower car, like you didn't have the spectacle throughout the night, you didn't have that great flow. Did this feel like one of those old school to you where we're really going to hang everything on that main event? Like we want you to be talking about this at the end of the night?
Yeah, with every match that happened, I was like, every time somebody went outside the ring, I was like gasping because I was like, don't take something away from this triple threat match at the end. Yeah. And I think it was, because if I was going to say what my favorite match of the night was, it would have been this, because I did have that big fight feel to it that you're talking about. But
we got like somebody like back in the day, like, I mean, you'd have some nice talents, great stars on WrestleMania cards, but you know, it was about that main event, about what Hogan was doing, or you know, maybe you had, you know, Macho or, you know, an Intercontinental in the undercard, but it was boom, boom, boom. It's all about that main event. I really felt like they were trying for that here.
And they gave it to you right away. I mean, they gave the throw into the outside and the Uso involved. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was really cool. It established where he was going to be to start. And obviously how it would be telegraphed at the end. But I thought the big fight feel was absolutely there, 100%. But that's why I was so annoyed at the rest of the card having all the stuff that the main event had, because it could have felt that much more bigger. But no, those three guys worked their ass off. Now, again, somebody who was tapped out, I did go out of my way to catch up on this going into it. And I was confused with how they put the triple threat match together, because I'm like, why are they telling you what all the options could be? Just say it's a triple threat match. Don't say, well, it could be the first night of WrestleMania, or well, it could be on Monday Night Raw. No. Just make it Sunday. Just tell us that's a match, instead of making everybody confused and wanting other scenarios. But otherwise, I thought it was great.
Now, one thing they did use that they didn't use previously, they used the NFL, you know, 4K, 8K camera, whatever the fuck it is.
That was cool. Yes.
You know, for Roman.
Yes, that was very cool.
Which was definitely worth it, in my opinion. Jargo, I know you're a big Daniel Bryan fan, since you know, you guys are cousins. What did you think of this match?
Goats.
Yeah, you're both goats. What did you think of this match?
Here was my problem with this match, and I guess I will ask all three of you gentlemen. Who was I supposed to want to win this match? Because that's what I am not clear on going into this match. Like, who was I supposed to be behind? Because whether it was the video package, whether it was what happened at Fastlane, like all of it, all three of these guys present themselves as douchebags to me. So tell me,
yes,
who was I supposed to want to win this match?
And why was Daniel Bryan smiling before he got introed? Did you notice that?
Yeah, he come across as American Dragon dickhead Brian Danielson.
I was gonna say, right? Like the smile, it was almost like a smirk.
That coy little smirk.
Yeah,
well, it was almost like, okay, like, you know what, I shouldn't be here. But I, you know, it was but that kind of look.
Yeah. It was the smile he had in the championship ceremony when the fans started chanting yes in the middle of all the other champs being out there and Triple H getting pissed off. That was the same smirk that I saw. And I noticed that too, because it was like, again, not being involved. I felt that way almost the whole night. I didn't know who was a heel, who was a babyface most of the time. Everybody's trying to get their shit in and look cool and be this and that. And this one, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was rooting for Roman because I thought the other two came off looking so bad.
I think that's what the issue was, is they were trying to – they thought by adding Edge and Daniel Bryan that they were going to move the fans so forcefully in that direction with two babies in there, the ultimate dislike and the hate towards Roman. That's what they were shooting for, but it backfired. So then when you split your crowd for your baby, then somehow that they realize that even if it's subconsciously, they realize that Roman's got the odds against him. They start rooting for him. So but you have this huge cluster that just backfires on him.
And I was wondering to see how Roman was going to get treated in front of an actual live audience, because we haven't seen that yet during his whole heel run. I mean, we all know he had the cancer push when he came back from leukemia. Everybody felt sorry for him. You know, they were actually behind him again. That can't last forever. And I think they knew that. Turning him heel during the pandemic was great, you know, for TV. It was the best thing happening on SmackDown, and you could even make an argument for the best thing in wrestling. But I was always wondering, how are the smart fans going to react to Roman Reigns as a heel, because they've been asking for it for so long? They still do the ooh-ah thing when he does the fucking spear. I mean, they, you know, there's a big chunk of the crowd that was, I think, was solidly behind Roman Reigns tonight.
Yeah, they booed where they needed to, though. He got booed very, very, very.
He had the Roman sucks champ, but I mean,
he was getting some good heat in the right time.
Yeah, that's and that at the end too.
That's a credit to him, though. That's a credit to how great his character has been.
Well, I guess that's my next question: is at the end when the boos erupt after Roman wins the match, was that legitimate heat on Roman Reigns? Or were people booing the WWE for putting Roman Reigns over in another main event? Because especially I honestly couldn't tell. I couldn't tell whether the heat was on the company or whether the heat was on Roman. And that's the story I'm going to be watching going forward.
That's a good question. I would think it was more the booze, to be honest with you, because in other years where they did kind of take over his dominating portions of the match with that heat, I didn't see that this time, and it just made Daniel. I mean, you would take Daniel Bryan and isolate him. I mean, they just made him look like a pathetic loser at the end. That concerto took him out forever.
And I agree. Until at the very end, as Roman hoists the title yet again at WrestleMania, were those boos for Roman Reigns, or were those boos for the company itself for putting Roman over again in a main event of WrestleMania?
Dean Galloway wants to know, was this supposed to be Bryan's revenge for 2015? If so, it was poorly constructed. Rick, what do you think about that?
Refresh my memory. What happened in 2015?
That's a good question. I was hoping you would know.
Wasn't that Mania 30?
Yes, it was.
So actually, we're going back. Yeah. Okay, I do my math there.
WrestleMania?
Yeah, it was WrestleMania 30.
I think his inclusion in this thing all the way around, you can look at it, see, was he supposed to be a fall guy? I ultimately think, you know, there is something special about Daniel Bryan. When you insert him into any kind of program, fans gravitate towards it. There's interest. Mm-hmm. He has it there. I think that they realized when they went with Roman and Edge, they thought they had something here, and the interest just wasn't there. It wasn't generating that excitement that they had expected. I'll still say that, you know, we can talk about your little conspiracy thing, Rob, in a minute there, but they should have gone, and I think people would have loved it with Orton and Edge and told that year-long story, get people really on board with this thing. I said, as I sat down last year, right after WrestleMania with the review show, I said, you got your main event right here. It's easy writing. You got a whole year to play this thing out.
Yes, you have a whole year.
And they pivoted from it, and I don't think fans wanted it, and they didn't buy into it. So I think Daniel Bryan was in this thing really because they thought it was going to fall flat.
We never get a payoff. It's supposed to be the rubber match, right?
I think they also thought Edge was a much bigger deal returning than what he actually was.
I guess you can make a case for that. Yeah, I mean,
especially
that's
a returning babyface. I mean, like, nobody liked Edge as a babyface to begin with. Like, the best Edge is heel Edge.
Right.
So I think they tried to kind of make Edge a tweener when he hit the attack on Brian, because the whole babyface Edge thing was not working. They needed an actual babyface in the match, but it just made Brian look like a dick for getting involved.
Yeah. Then he comes out looking like a babyface, but then he gets in the match and he's ready to fucking end people's careers with the fucking double concerto, because he's off the rails. He's fucking, he's unhinged.
He was unhinged Edge.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
somebody would say he was pushed over the.
Now you just pissed off all the Owen Hart fans.
Oh, Christ, yeah, here we go. Yeah,
but I gotta say though, I felt like we go back to the big fight feel. I just felt that it had that, if the show had maybe been about a half hour shorter, it would have had that signing off with the pyro, which I don't know why a heel would need pyro, but you sign off with the champion holding the belt over his head and saying goodnight at 11 o'clock rather than stretching it that extra 30 minutes or so, whatever the hell it was, for essentially stuff that didn't need to be on the show completely. You also glanced over the Hall of Fame, which was my favorite part of the evening, but we'll let that slide. I don't want to extend the time here.
I mean, they glanced over it too with their presentation of both nights. To be honest, with nobody there but the fucking Thunderdome screens or whatever, I wasn't a fan of that either.
The only thing that mattered was when the Bellas threw Bayley down the ramp.
Yeah, it was a hell of a bump.
It was a hell of a bump, and Bayley was the right one to take that. My wife is a huge Bella fan, so she enjoyed that part of it. She loved Total Divas and all that shit, so it worked. I mean, if that's what they're going for, to get your casuals or the people that don't normally watch, it's fine. I mean, there was a reason for everything tonight other than the Hulk Hogan, Titus thing. Hogan has to have a fucking chaperone out there because you don't know what he's going to say. He has to have...
Hey, I was going to do a whole show dedicated to Total Divas, but Hami wouldn't let me.
We can do it on my network if you want to do that. I'm down with that.
The Hulkster and Titus dressed up like pirates was maybe the most I ever felt bad for two grown men on a television screen. And especially one of them being,
with
the icon.
Lines, too.
Daddy, oh my gosh, the pirate voices. And that's how the Hulkster is in desperate need of wanting to make sure that reputation is back to full, full Hulk Hogan capacity, because I mean, that was utterly ridiculous the way they were dressed. And I am a Hulk Hogan apologist in every sense of the word. And that was ridiculous.
I mean, Ric Flair would have made more sense. At least, two old crazy bastards out there kind of doing the R thing back and forth. The one R's, one woos. I mean, yeah, I could have seen that, but I feel bad for Titus, to be quite honest. We know Hogan needs some money and Hogan does want to, like Chad said.
I don't think he needs the money. I don't think the Hulkster needs the money. He's making a shitload of money. No, I think it's not about the money with him. It's Hulk Hogan being at WrestleMania. That was the smart move. The Titus thing, he's a good soldier. Like they said, he's the global ambassador. He does a great job marketing the company wherever they need him to go. It just, if you're doing a host, just put Hogan by himself backstage the way they did on Raw a few weeks ago. Just do it like that. He didn't need to do all the histrionics.
You're all missing the point. This is all to establish that Hulk Hogan is not a racist on the grandest stage of them all. That's why he was out there with Titus O'Neil, and it was about nothing more than that. Look, I'm hanging out with my brother.
He handpicked him.
yeah, he did. What'd you think of them showing everybody on the stage last night during tonight's America the Beautiful? Why? Why do we need to go back between the singer and a clip from everybody standing on the fucking stage?
Is that what they did? See, I was they when did. They were doing America the Beautiful, I was kind of shuffling papers. I wasn't really watching. Last night,
Vince and the whole crew were out there.
I heard that.
Which Ben took exception to because of the fact that you just fucked up all your rivalries and all your angles because we're all out there together. Like, I know it's
sports entertainment. But what about the historic main event with the two girls standing out there having a goddamn cry fest before the fucking match starts?
Yeah.
You hate each other.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up and wrestle. Jesus Christ. Oh, I was so pissed watching
Vince giving
shit.
Himself a pat on the back saying, "We're the first live assembly since COVID-19. No, you're not. The Super Bowl actually was. I mean, we can go into semantics.
In the same stadium, Vince. The same
fucking stadium, yeah. The Silverdome, brother. But yeah, tonight they show clips of them on the stage. Like, well, why didn't you just bring them on the fucking stage tonight instead of showing? And they even put up the graphic last night. Didn't
because then Vince would have to get his makeup done twice.
Yeah.
God, has he got Botox or some shit going on?
Or two paydays for the people to stand there on the stage. You didn't
fuck
want to
me. He looks. Oh, you're not talking about Vince's toupee. You're actually talking about paydays, as in money, moolah. That's a Jesse's body joke from back in the day. But I thought Chad would pop at that, but he didn't fucking sell it. So that's fine. It's late.
I get the Hall of Fame. I did a whole thing. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame.
Are you going to care? Are you really going to?
They didn't mention it. I mean, the best part of the night was the Kane pyro. So, I mean, like the.
All right, so let's talk about the 2021 class, the Hall of Fame. Kane was leading the charge because, well, you know, Batista had movies and other important shit to do.
Well, Batista was supposed to be from last year anyway. So.
Oh, no, that's right. That's right. So he blew him off on that side. Ozzy blew him off, too. I guess he couldn't make the trip overseas, but.
I think he can travel. I think he's I think he's kind of stuck where he is.
Come on. He's Ozzy Osbourne, man. I mean,
he's on the no fly list, man.
I think he was in his Ozzy Osbourne wheelchair. He was doing that video.
Yeah, he was. The dark side of the chair. but no, we also had a great Conley was there, which, you know, again, he looks like he could step back in the ring. RVD was there, had to get his gimmick in, which was cool. Who else did we have? The Warrior Award, some guy that's worked in production, I guess, for 50 years. It's actually a name I didn't recognize.
That one, I don't know who that guy is, and absolutely no disrespect to him, but how goddamn stupid was it for WWE to give that award to anybody other than Shad Gaspard this year? They can go fuck themselves for that.
Yeah, one. That was bad, but you know what's funny is that they actually gave the award in the spirit of what the award was originally, you know, the concept from the Warrior's mouth. They did the right thing at the wrong time. So they should have done Shad, but they did this guy Rich, who's been a loyal soldier again for 25, 30 years, whatever it was, or close to 50 from what he said. But they missed it. So it's like when they do the right thing, they miss it. Maybe Shad will get his due next year.
well said, man. It's one of those they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. They just can't get it right.
We know Vince,
as far as I'm concerned, anyway, rename the award the Shad Gaspard Award, because at least he was a decent human being.
Well played. Well played. No, and fair point, too. Say what you want about Warrior. Yeah, he may have made amends at the end, but where was he the 10 years previous to that? So fair. That's a fair point.
Parts unknown.
Yeah. Hard-hitting take by Jarmaster J. What you expect from an award-winning broadcast journalist like Michael Jargo. We do appreciate you being here. Maybe I'll invite you on another show in the future. Maybe we can do, some weird New Japan shit that you're into. But,
you never know. Maybe I'll accept.
Maybe. Well, again, like Rick said, you'll pretty much do anything. So
that's true.
Guys, I appreciate you being here. Where do we go from here? They touted the fact that this was back in business, baby, in front of a live audience. Obviously, we can't go back to the Thunderdome. Rick, what say you? Do they go forward with live fans?
I believe we are going back to Thunderdome. I believe that starts back tomorrow night. So,
do they rip the screens out and put fans in the seats, or what do you think they should do?
Well, I think it's already planned. We're going back to the actual set and all that. I don't know if there's an announcement. Yeah. You know, at the next pay-per-view, the marquee event, if we're going to return to the fans, I think they're going to ease back into that. I just think, through the COVID, the entire landscape of the presentation is going to change. We've long heard the rumors with, the live house shows, if you will. Those are going to go to a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm. Which they said they weren't making money to begin with, right?
Yeah, outside of your big ones, your MSGs, your major markets, things like that. But it'll certainly be interesting. I guess there's always that intrigue, even if you're down on the product. And you gentlemen, not regularly into it, picked up bits and pieces heading even into Mania. But there's always that intrigue with the Raw after, to see if who's going to show up and how they're going to parlay this thing into what essentially is the next season, the next year of WWE wrestling.
I just can't imagine the Raw after Mania with no fans. It's like the best Raw of the fucking year. How you figure it out, just fucking do it. I rent a fucking, KFC or Elks Lodge.
Vince, obviously, he doesn't have the scope the mind capabilities of the Forbidden Door, TK. So maybe Jericho, since, you know, he's back, you know, on the WWE network, on WWE property, Peacock, whatever it might be. Maybe he can maybe give Vince TK's number and they can talk about that. You know,
that's the real mastermind, man. That's
the real main event.
As soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to go watch Jericho on Stone Cold's podcast of this entire weekend. To me, that is the real.
I'm an hour into it. It's not too bad.
I heard a rumor. Actually, he may have said AEW isn't competition. I'd like to see what he meant by that.
I haven't gotten to that part yet. If they do, but they did open up talking about AEW.
And you know what? I heard they actually showed it in Europe first. Husey messaged me yesterday and said that he was able to watch it yesterday, whereas we weren't able to watch it until tonight. So
it released yesterday. I watched. It was released yesterday.
Well, it released yesterday because I didn't see it on Peacock this morning. That's
well, that's because Peacock sucks ass.
That's
it's
fair.
Horrible.
Yeah. Oh, well, the stream did work out well. I didn't have any glitches last night or tonight.
I was going through my PlayStation, and it was glitch city, man.
Yeah, I was going through my Fire Stick. I backdoored a fucking app that I was able to download and use, and it worked okay for me. Chad, at what point do we go back to live crowds this year? I mean, this is probably the first step.
Yeah,
but when do you really see that becoming the edict?
Well, if they, you know, stay in Florida, obviously Florida's got restrictions based per the counties. So, you know, Jacksonville being where it is in Florida, obviously I just saw the graphic before we got recording that they said they can go to full capacity at the venue AEW performs at. So, I mean, if they're going to stick in the Tampa, Orlando area and kind of, you know, keep themselves in that bubble, their restrictions may not be lifted where the counties allow them to have live fans attend.
Right.
Being that what it is and what they were able to accomplish at WrestleMania, take that and just do what you can with it until you can get the fans back. There's a big change in putting on a Thunderdome show or when they were in the Performance Center and hearing nothing. Even and that piped in crowd noise from the Hall of Fame, I mean, I've talked about it all. Is the worst thing I've ever heard.
That was bad.
Just to hear even the regular sized crowd of what was 25,000 people, that was so refreshing that, you know what? I'd rather it be perfect than done quickly. So whenever it is, whenever they finally get those fans back, it'll be the right time. I wouldn't want it to be a smattering of 5,000 people for a WWE television show. It's not 1994. We don't need to see that shit anymore.
No, that's fair. Jargo, I know you said this is one of the worst WrestleManias of all time, but at least it felt like a WrestleMania again as opposed to last year.
I've been watching shows with fans for months now in Japan. So to me, it didn't really even stick out to me. To be completely honest, but at least I didn't have to deal with that god awful piped in crowd noise because, like, some of the episodes of NXT have just been unwatchable,
especially the takeover. I thought those fans beating on the fucking glass and annoying chanting, and I'm like, it was
cringe. But I mean, like, in Japan, people can't yell. Like, everybody is masked, and you have to sit there in silence. You're allowed to clap, and you're allowed to stomp your feet. So, I mean, it's still a very, very different kind of atmosphere, but Japanese fans are quiet anyway. So,
true. They're traditionally, they are.
They should be embarrassed by that Hall of Fame. That was a disgrace that they
put. Especially during the backstage segments, the crowd noise was louder than the people talking. It was bad. Really, really bad. Elizabeth said, why wouldn't you have made Raw live at the stadium on Monday? They could have sold 25,000 more tickets. Is that a missed opportunity, Rick?
Obviously, I'm just kind of doing a little follow-up here to see what they've actually got going on. It looks, you know, as Thunderdome as we know it there at Tropicana, in any way that they do this, they're going to have to find a new location if that's going back to the Performance Center, because it's already converted to baseball.
The Yankees today.
I mean, we'll
probably just go to the Capitol Wrestling Center.
Yeah.
Where they run NXT.
Yeah, I guess they could. And they can't go back to the arena they're at before because they're doing basketball, right? Basketball and hockey, I think.
Yeah, Amway Center.
Amway Center, yeah. So I guess they kind of backed themselves in the corner when it comes to that.
I actually just drove by the Amway Center 2 weeks ago, and they've got the marquee for concerts and all of the stuff coming through within the next few weeks. So they absolutely, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know how they're, you know, whether it's down the road or not, but I saw the advertisements out there. So they're gearing up for stuff. It's just a matter of being the perfect time and getting it right.
Well, I guess we'll see moving forward what WWE does this year with fans. But it was a good first step for me to see, you know, fans back live, especially, you know, they did a great job, you know, keeping the top rows dark where you really couldn't see if there's anybody there and pushing everybody down near the front. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Was it one of the greatest WrestleManias ever? No. But I think there was enough matches that I enjoyed to where, you know, it could have been worse. It wasn't WrestleMania 9. And hopefully Chad doesn't get shit for that one.
A potential place here would be the Union Center, the University of South Florida, where they don't have any restrictions. It is an open area with a capacity of 10,411.
There you go.
Potential.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, guys, I appreciate you being here as always. I know it's a long day, long week for everybody, but you know, we're all warriors here at HMG and the brand and TMPT and everything that Chad does with Francine on Patreon and Triple Threat with Paz. Chad, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to cover? Just let people know where to find you.
No, if you want to find me at Chad EMB on Twitter and Instagram, TMPTEmpire.com, IBExclusives.com. Francine on Patreon, Triple Threat on the brand. A New Generation Declassified. This week, we're talking about WrestleMania 9 with Husey, who brings to the table a rumored WrestleMania 9 card that never took place.
And I've heard his rumors on that, and I can't wait to hear the show. That's the reason why I brought it up, because I knew that show was coming up. I wanted to get a rise out of you. But
this week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Anywhere podcasts are found. Richard Bronson Vickery, where can we find you on social media, my friend? And what you got coming on this week? I know you're up bright and early to do the Monday Locker Room with the Binster.
I was going to say here, right around the corner, we got 7.5 hours. You can find me inside the Monday Locker Room with the Hameen Media Group. We're going to be live. You can just find where the hell we're at, Hameen's page, the Hameen Media Group YouTube page. But just follow us on social media, at the Hameen Media Group, to see where we're at. Check out all of our live programming through the week. Of course, right now it's up in the air where we're going to land on our feet, but rest assured that we are in the works of finding a new home with the HMG. But until then, for all of your weekly programming, patreon.com/ the Hameen Media Group. And of course, later on this week, also at hittingthemarks.com, get me and Jargo. Well, I think we found a new groove. We don't need to do runs anymore. We just start shooting the shit about whatever's going on in the world, but it's just kind of a an open forum conversation. So again, hittingthemarks.com. You can keep up with just me personally across all social media at The Real RBV.
The podcast whore himself, Michael Jargo.
I have simplified everything for all things Jargo. Just simply visit michaeljargo.com.
There you go, michaeljargo.com. I'm looking forward to seeing Raw tomorrow night, which I don't normally watch, but since it is the Raw after Mania, I will definitely check it out to see what happens. Thank you to everybody that tuned in this week for Rad Mania 3. Again, 7 days of shows. It's what I do for the big events. I do it for WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and the Royal Rumble. So another successful week. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. Rick, especially, thank you for, again, being the bookend, the beginning and the end, and the almighty. Thank you for your help this week. Also, Ben said, I just want to second what he said last night before we wrap it up here. Great job on the promotion for getting everything out for HMG this week, and especially this weekend, pushing all the shows out, getting people to share and like. I appreciate that. See you, Jargo. But yeah, great work. Great work, brother. We appreciate everyone's hard work here at HMG.
All right, I appreciate it, man. Just take us home, man. We got the X up. We're limping out. We got the go home out.
Sign. Yeah.
dropping out. I'm sitting here being like, am I supposed to say something? Or I'm supposed to get in my cool move before we sign off. I mean, come
right.
Another successful week of shows. I'll be back on Thursday for another edition of the Main Event. Until then, thanks for everybody watching here on YouTube and listening on the Rad Rob Radio Network. We'll see you next time. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to this edition of RTW Main Event. You can follow the show on Twitter at RTW Brand. Follow Red Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. And follow the Ocho at Real BG Ocho. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Main Event right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.